Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. The pit-pat's through my brain.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Before World War I, most Broadway musicals began life in London's West End and then crossed the Atlantic, where Americans revised its book and added new songs. But the mutual cross-Atlantic feeding began as early as Gilbert and Sullivan and The Merry Widow.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
By the 1870s, Gilbert and Sullivan's comic opera Pirates of Penzance received its world premiere in New York. Its mix of comedy, parody, satire, and farce made it an enormous hit. Soon, Gilbert and Sullivan's operas swept the country. In 1907, another import reached America, this time by way of Vienna, Franz Lehár's The Merry Widow. Its romantic story of an heiress and a prince set in Paris enchanted American audiences and created a craze for European operetta. From Pirates of Penzance, Donald Adams' I Am a Pirate King, and from The Merry Widow, Wilbur Evans and Kitty Carlisle, the title song.
Far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly, then play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world go you, where pirates all are well to do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate. I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is the love of the pirate king,
the love of the pirate king.
Choose but know I love you so.
Donald Adams' I Am a Pirate King, and Kitty Carlisle and Wilbur Evans' The Merry Widow Waltz. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. We start with Broadway in the late 19th century. Within a few decades of their arrival in the mid-19th century, the Irish were writing songs in Tin Pan Alley and on Broadway. Jewish composer David Bram shortened his name from Abraham and collaborated with lyricist Ned Harrigan to write a series of musical farces about the Irish in New York. Their shows were some of the first to depict ordinary Americans in recognizable situations. Max Morath sings Bram and Harrigan's The Babies on Our Block.
If you want for information or in need of merriment, come over with me socially to Murphy's Tenement. He owns a row of houses in the first ward near the dock, where Ireland's represented by the babies on our block. There's the Phelans and the Whelans from the sweet Donaghadee. They are sitting on the railings with their children on their knee, all gossiping and talking with their neighbors in a flock, singing Little Sally Waters with the babies on our block.
Oh, Little Sally Waters, sitting in the sun, a-crying and weeping for a young man. Oh, rise, Sally, rise, wipe your eye out with your frock, that's sung by the babies a-living on our block.
Of a warm day in the summer when the breeze blows off the sea, 100,000 children lay on the battery. They come from Murphy's building, all the noise would stop a clock. Oh, there's no perambulatory with the babies on our block. There's the Clearys and the Learys from the sweet backwater side. They're laying on the battery and they're gazing at the tide. All royal blood and noble, all of Dan O'Connell's stock, singing gravel, greeny gravel, with the babies on our block.
Oh, gravel, greeny gravel, how green the grasses grow, for all the pretty fair young maidens that I see. Oh, green gravel, green, wipe your eye out with your frock, that's sung by the babies a-living on our block.
Good morning to you, landlord. Come now, how are you today? When Patrick Murphy, Esquire, comes down the alleyway with the shiny silken beaver, he's as solid as a rock. The envy of the neighbor boys are living off our block. There's the Brannans and the Gannons far down in Conant Men, quite easy with the shovel and so handy with the pen. All neighborly and friendly with relations by the flock, singing Little Sally Waters with the babies on our block.
Oh, Little Sally Waters, sitting in the sun, a-crying and weeping for a young man. Oh, rise, Sally, rise, wipe your eye out with your frock,
that's sung by the babies
a-living on our block.
Max Morath, The Babies on Our Block. During those years, Broadway was remarkably open. Before the end of the century, black composers and lyricists were also writing musical scores. Clorindy from 1898 was the first Broadway musical with an all-black cast. Its setting was urban, but the score by Will Marion Cook and Paul Lawrence Dunbar rose above its violent imagery. This was a night to celebrate. Danny Barker with Darktown is Out Tonight.
Hey, that sound. Come on, gal, China's promenade. Take my arm, what's the harm? Needn't be afraid. There's old Dan, watch that man coming down the line. That old coon, hot in June, long and sweating time. How to do, hope that you enjoy yourself immense. Reckon Bess got that dress off Miss Lucy's fence. Clear the path, needn't laugh, that'll be all right. White folks, you got no show, this here's Dogtown night.
And there'll be warm coons a-prancing, swell coons a-dancing, tough coons who want to fight. So bring along your blazers, fetch out your razors, Dogtown is out tonight.
Watch that pal, they don't care how they lift the feet. Gracious me, Julius, he never could be beat. What's that lies, I surprise, reckon she can't come. Never know, hustle slow, joining in the fun. Yonder's lies, what a size, what you expect to do. Needn't grin, she can't win, thought she'd walk with you. Bless the lamb, how come Sam? With Corinda too. Now's the time, get in line, show what you can do.
And there'll be warm coons a-prancing, swell coons a-dancing, tough coons who want to fight. So bring along your blazers, fetch out your razors, Dogtown is out tonight.
Everyone hunting fun, no Dogtown's a place. Casey's coons and buffoons, that ain't no disgrace. Never mind for the time, coming mighty soon. When the best like the rest, gonna be singing coon. Time ain't long for our song, mighty sweet to hear. And old Darky band sounds so grand, make you feel so queer. Now's the time, get in line, we ain't here to fight. What's the use of abuse? Dogtown is all right.
And there'll be warm coons a-prancing, swell coons a-dancing, tough coons who want to fight. So bring along your blazers, fetch out your razors, Dogtown is out tonight.
Danny Barker, Dogtown is out tonight. As operetta faded in popularity, modern musical comedy emerged. At first, though, many of the musical comedies on Broadway were British musicals from the West End adapted to American tastes, because they needed new songs with melodies that felt American and lyrics that sounded American. These interpolations helped American writers break in. In 1905, for the British musical The Earl and the Girl, Jerome Kern contributed How'd You Like to Spoon with Me? From the review The Land Where the Good Songs Go, The Company with How'd You Like to Spoon with Me?
How'd you like to spoon with me? How'd you like to spoon with me? Sit beneath an oak tree, large and shady.
Call me little Tootsie Wootsie, baby.
How'd you like to hug and squeeze?
Dandle me upon your knees.
How'd you like to be my lovey-dovey? How'd you like to spoon with me? To hug and squeeze.
Indeed I would.
Dandle you upon my knees.
Oh, if I could.
How'd you like to be my lovey-dovey? How'd you like to spoon with me?
Travel to the moon with.
How'd you like to spoon with me?
Share a macaroon with.
How'd you like to spoon with me?
The Company from Land Where the Good Songs Go with How'd You Like to Spoon with Me. Young Jerome Kern spent time in England and eventually wrote for the English musical stage. In 1912, the Victorian British playwright Arthur Wing Pinero actually wrote a play entitled Mind the Paint Girl in order to incorporate a song by Kern, to which Pinero also set words. It opened in the West End in 1912, and then later that year began a four-month run on Broadway. This is Ann Seola with Mind the Paint.
I've a very charming dwelling, you know where, without the telling, decorated in a style that's rather quaint, smart and quaint. When you pay my house a visit, you may scrutinize. Touch the paint, brand new paint. Mind the paint, be careful, mind the paint. Fingerprints will always show, however faint. Once you smear it or you scratch it, it's impossible to match it. Take care to be careful, mind the paint. I'm possessed of all the graces, oh, a perfect dreamy faces. It may owe to art a trifle, or it mayn't. And I'll cry out for assistance, should you fail to keep your distance. Goodness gracious, mind the paint, mind the paint. Mind the paint, be careful, mind the paint. Will always show, however faint. Once you smear it or you scratch it, it's impossible to match it. Take care to be careful, mind the paint.
Ann Seola, Mind the Paint. English musical imports stopped in 1914. The First World War made the Atlantic crossing from Britain much too dangerous. One byproduct was the emergence of a distinctively American musical comedy, more or less coherent stories about young, fun-loving New Yorkers who cavorted to bouncy tunes and spoke and sang up-to-date American English. This is Jerome Kern and P.G. Woodhouse's Princess Musicals, Ain't It a Grand and a Glorious Feeling.
Some days are bum days, but sometimes there come days when your luck's in from the start.
Days when the jinx doesn't drive you to drinks, and old man trouble has a heart.
When fate doesn't wait round the corner with a brick, and your stock goes up to par.
things aren't this way very much, but say, oh joy, oh boy, when they are. Ain't it a grand and a glorious feeling when the world is fair and bright? When nothing's gone wrong from the breakfast gong till you go to bed at night. When you're able to say as you're hitting the hay, this is the end of a perfect day. Ain't it a grand and a glorious feeling when you feel the world's all right? Ain't it a grand and a glorious feeling when the world is fair and bright?
When nothing's gone wrong from the breakfast.
Grand and a glorious feeling when you feel the world's all right.
Kern and Woodhouse's Ain't It a Grand and a Glorious Feeling. Once the war ended, Americans wanted to go back to the pre-war world they knew. It wasn't to be, although we did try it for a while. The biggest Broadway hit of 1919 was called Irene, with a song that featured its demure but flirtatious heroine. When Edith Day as Irene took the show to England, she became the toast of London. This is Day with that song, Alice Blue Gown. Edith Day with Harry Tierney and Joseph McCarthy's Alice Blue Gown. In 1951, 50 years after the American novel Brewster's Millions first appeared, it opened as a musical in the West End. But in 1919, the same year as Irene, Jerome Kern and Buddy DeSilva were working on an adaptation. The score included Look for the Silver Lining. When the show, entitled Zip Goes a Million, closed after out-of-town tryouts, they used Silver Lining the next year in their hit show, Sunny. But there was also a second song that began in Zip Goes a Million and landed in Sunny. Gene Lehman and George Dvorsky with Whippoorwill.
Let me take you back a ways to our early childhood days, when we stood within the little wood as day was fading.
I remember oh so well, strolling in the dusky dell. We were thrilled because the whippoorwill was serenading.
Trilling while stars were rapidly filling the sky.
Whippoorwill, I used to love to hear you call to me.
Whippoorwill, I know you meant the world and all. Branches of the trees above, you would sing your plaintive little melodies of love.
Now the moon no longer near, in my dreams I seem to hear
whippoorwill
ever calling to me.
While the dusky night bird flew to his evening rendezvous, through the dell we heard the vesper bell so softly ringing.
As its music died away and the sky began to gray, all was still, and then the whippoorwill would start his singing.
Trilling while stars were rapidly filling the sky.
Whippoorwill, to love to hear you call to me.
Whippoorwill, I know you meant the world and all to me.
When the sun had gone to rest, I could hear you from your nest.
Whippoorwill, you start to whistle tenderly. And as the moon would swing across the branches of the tree above, you would sing your plaintive little melodies of love.
Although you're no longer near, in my dreams I seem to hear
whippoorwill ever calling to me.
Whippoorwill, I used to love to hear you call to me.
Whippoorwill, I know you meant the world and all to me.
When the sun had gone to rest, I could hear you from your nest.
Whippoorwill, you'd start to whistle tenderly. And as the moon would swing across the branches of the trees above, you would sing your plaintive little melodies of love.
Now that you're no longer near, in my dreams I seem to hear
whippoorwill
ever calling to me.
Thank you.
Gene Lehman and George Dvorsky, Whippoorwill. You're listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Like Jerome Kern before him, George Gershwin wrote for the West End. In fact, the show Primrose didn't open in the U.S. for another half century. Some British producers lured him to London, where he collaborated with the English lyricist Desmond Carter. Their show was a hit and included the song That Newfangled Mother of Mine. Here are Ronnie White and Travis Hudson.
Lots of people's mothers are silver-haired and sweet, but frankly there are others, and mine you ought to meet. You never find her knitting, she has no silver hair. You never find her sitting beside my vacant chair. I stay at home, but mother's never there. That newfangled mother of mine, that glass-bangled mother of mine. While others sit at home in Ireland or Tennessee, she's more inclined to roam, she's more at home with Hennessy. And thanks to that mother of mine, from nightclubs I have to resign, 'cause I hate to have to answer that the exhibition dancer is that newfangled mother of mine. First she took to henna, of that I wasn't fond, but she contracted then a severe attack of blonde. And how I blushed and tingled the day her hair was bobbed. But when she came home shingled, of joy my day was robbed. I crumpled up and absolutely sobbed. That newfangled mother of mine, that star-spangled mother of mine. You don't know what she's like, she's one among a million. Upon my motorbike, she occupies the pillion. And thanks to that mother of mine, fancy dress balls I decline, since I found that the Bacchante in the costume rather scanty was that newfangled mother, that newfangled mother, that newfangled mother of mine.
Ronnie White and Travis Hudson, That Newfangled Mother of Mine. Here's a different take on the transatlantic movement. The Irish began to land here in large numbers in the 1850s, largely because of the potato famines, but also because of the crushing burdens imposed by English and Anglo-Irish landlords. Those who fled to the U.S. found their way to the music business, first Tin Pan Alley and then Broadway. Lyricist William Jerome was born William Jerome Flannery, just up the Hudson from Manhattan. Victor Herbert was born in Ireland, but grew up and studied in Germany. He was an adult when he came to the United States and began to write Viennese operettas in New York. Billy Jerome, on the other hand, was pure Tin Pan Alley. Even so, these two Irish writers, both by inheritance rather than experience, were shaping American music. One its music, the other its words. From 1905, from Herbert and Henry Blossom's Mademoiselle Modiste, Kenneth Smith with I Want What I Want When I Want It, and from 1910, Chris Grenendahl with Gene Schwartz and William Jerome's Chinatown, My Chinatown.
Though fools may prate of the married state and the evils of bachelor life, I'm happier far than the married men are, who are cursed with a shrew of a wife. I drink my fill, if I have the will, with friends who are tried and old. And oft when the company's good, I stay. I may not come home till the break of day. But if dinner is waiting and I am awake, is no one to nag me or scold. For I want what I want when I want it. That's all that makes life worthwhile. For the wine that tonight fills my soul with delight on the morrow may seem to me vile. There's no worldly pleasure myself I deny. There's no one to ask me the wherefore or why. I eat when I'm hungry and drink when I'm dry. For I want what I want when I want it. I want what I want when I want it.
When the town is fast asleep and it's midnight in the sky, Chinese boy starts to wink his other eye, starts to wink his dreamy eye. Lazily you'll hear him sigh, Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. The sights, pigtails flying here and there. See that broken Wall Street sport, still thinks he's a millionaire. Still thinks he's a millionaire. Pipe dreams banish every care.
Kenneth Smith, I Want What I Want When I Want It, and Chris Grenendahl, Chinatown, My Chinatown. Even when the shows on Broadway weren't English, sometimes the stars were. British producer André Charlot brought his successful West End revue to Broadway in 1926. With Gertrude Lawrence in the starring role, it was just as successful here except that London audiences would never have recognized it. Most of the songs for the Broadway version were by American songwriters. This one is by Joe Mayer, Al Dubin, and Billy Rose. Gertrude Lawrence and Jack Buchanan, A Cup of Coffee, A Sandwich, and You.
In the movie plays of nowadays, a romance always must begin in June. Tales in magazines have all their scenes of love laid in a garden neath the moon. But I don't miss that kind of bliss. All I want is this: a cup of coffee, a sandwich, and you. A cozy corner, a table or two. A half an hour to cuddle and coo, with lots of hugging and kissing in view. I don't need music, laughter, and wine whenever your eyes gaze into mine. The things I long for are simple and few. Just a cup of coffee, a sandwich, and you.
If it is because you can't afford more sandwiches and coffee, we will share. But if it's to help you save and hoard more, I can plainly see how much you care. Now if I were you, flirting with me, my advice would be, I've got a thousand and nothing to do. I'd like to lend it or spend it on you. I know I'm reckless, but you are some girl. So choose that necklace, I'll buy every pearl. Oh, Mr. Rubens, I'll take a chance, perhaps for coffee, but not for romance. The things I long for are fewer than few. A cup of coffee, a sandwich, and you.
Gertrude Lawrence and Jack Buchanan, A Cup of Coffee, A Sandwich, and You. No Broadway leading man of the 1920s was more important than Fred Astaire. During those years, he perfected the character of the urbane innocent he would portray in talking pictures into the 1950s. One of the shows he and his sister Adele took to London in the late 20s was George and Ira Gershwin's Funny Face. This is the title song.
Frankie, dear, your birthday gift reveals to me that at heart you're really not so bad. And if I add your funny face appeals to me, please don't think I've suddenly gone mad. You have all the qualities of Peter Pan. I'd go far before I'd find a sweeter pan. I love your funny face. Your sunny, funny face. For you're a cutie with more than beauty. You've got such a lot of personality, and a thousand laughs I've found from having you around. Though you're no glory, for worlds I'd not replace that funny, funny face.
Needn't tell me that I'm not so pretty, dear. When my looking glass and I agree, in the contest at Atlantic City, dear, Miss America I'd never be. Truth to tell, though you're not such a lot yourself, as a false one you are not so hot yourself. And yet I love your funny face. Your funny, funny face. You can't repair it, so I declare it is true that you have personality for two. Those eyes, those nose, those cheeks. Of personality and me, a thousand laughs I've found from having you around. Though you're no folly's beauty, you're great for kitchen duty. I love your funny face.
Fred and Adele Astaire, Funny Face. Through the 20s and even into the Great Depression, American musicals moved successfully to the West End. Shows by such important songwriters as Irving Berlin, the Gershwins, and Cole Porter. Some even wrote shows specifically for the West End. In 1930, Gertrude Lawrence starred in Cole Porter's Nymph Errant, about a young woman who graduates from finishing school and then travels the world to learn about life. It has never had a Broadway production. This is Cole Porter with The Physician.
Once I longed such a shattering physician, quite the best-looking doctor in the state. He looked after my physical condition, and his bedside manner was great. When I gaze up and see him there above me, looking less like a doctor than a Turk, I was tempted to whisper, "Do you love me, or do you merely love your work?" He said my bronchial tubes were entrancing, my epiglottis filled him with glee. He simply loved my larynx and went wild about my pharynx, but he never said he loved me. He said my epidermis was darling and found my blood as blue as could be. He went through wild ecstatic when I showed him my lymphatic, but he never said he loved me. And though no doubt it was not very smart of me, I kept on a rack in my soul to figure out why he loved every part of me, and yet not me as a whole. With my esophagus, he was ravished, enthusiastic to a degree. He said 'twas just enormous, my appendix vermiformis, but he never said he loved me. He said my cerebellum was brilliant and my cerebrum far from NG. I know he thought a lot of my medulla oblongata, but he never said he loved me. He said my maxillaries were marvels and found my sternum stunning to see. He did a double hurdle when I shook my pelvic girdle, but he never said he loved me.
seemed amused when he first made a test of me to further his medical art. Yet he refused when he fixed up the rest of me to cure that ache in my heart. I know he thought my pancreas perfect, and for my spleen was keen as could be. He said of all his sweeties, I'm the sweetest diabetes, but he never said he lost to me.
Cole Porter, the physician. In 1937, Noel Gay, Douglas Ferber, and Arthur Rose wrote an enormously likable score for a show called Me and My Girl. It became one of the West End's most popular musicals, but only after its fourth revival in 1986 had run for more than 3,000 performances did it reach Broadway. Here's Robert Lindsay with the show's most important song, The Lambeth Walk.
Lambeth, you've never seen. The skies ain't blue, the grass, it ain't green. It hasn't got the Mayfair touch, but, well, that don't matter very much. We play a different way, not like you, but a bit more gay. When we have a bit of fun, oh boy. Any time you're Lambeth way, any evening, any day, you'll find us all doing the Lambeth walk. Up every little Lambeth gal with a little Lambeth pal, you'll find them all doing the Lambeth walk. Oi! Everything free and easy, do as you don't, well please, why don't you make your way there, go there, stay there. Once you get down Lambeth way, every evening, every day, you'll find yourself doing the Lambeth walk. Oi!
Any time you're Lambeth way, any evening, any day, you'll find us
every evening, every day.
Robert Lindsay and the cast of Me and My Girl, The Lambeth Walk. Andrew Lloyd Webber's bombastic pop operas continued the British invasion of Broadway, and hit Broadway musicals returned the favor. The cross currents between Broadway and the West End continue into the present and will do so for the foreseeable future. Andrew Crouch is the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's fascinating rhythm.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit WXXI.org/rhythm.